Welcome to the Passion, Purpose, and Possibilities podcast. I'm your host, Candace Snyder. And after overcoming a life-changing injury, I discovered the power of passion and purpose in my own life. Now I'm here to share the incredible stories of my guests, people who found their own path to purpose, face challenges head-on, and are making a meaningful impact in the world. Each week, we'll dive into their journeys, their passions, and the causes they care about most, with the hope that their stories inspire you to reclaim your own purpose and explore the endless possibilities that lie ahead. So let's get started and uncover the power of passion, purpose, and possibilities. Did you know that visiting an art gallery can lower anxiety and depression while boosting critical thinking skills? Science even shows that viewing beautiful artwork can spark the same physical reactions as falling in love. That's where Movin' Art Relaxation comes in, a unique, fun, and easy way to meditate with art. Now on YouTube, Movin' Art Relaxation is an innovative platform that connects the beauty of art and music with the power of meditation and the ease of technology. Spearheaded by artist and business builder Peggy Massey, along with therapist Kim Leatherdale, Movin' Art Relaxation is all about getting original artists seen while helping you feel happier, more relaxed, and more productive. Fall in love with new artists and experience the joy and calm that art can bring. Check it out on YouTube today at Movin' Art Relaxation. You can find the link in the show notes. Hey, it's another episode of Passion, Purpose, and Possibilities, where my guests share their stories of transformation and how they found their path to purpose. And my guest today is Juanita D'Souza Uliti. She's an industry and community leader, author, educator, executive coach, management consultant, and speaker dedicated to empowering leaders, fostering inclusion, and breaking barriers. She's the founder and CEO of Dynamic Solutions International, a firm specializing in leadership development, strategic business facilitation, professional development, business transformation, change management, and executive coaching. Through DSI, she partners with well-established organizations in Manitoba, Canada, and internationally to drive business transformation, successfully execute major projects, navigate change, and develop impactful leadership strategies that align with business goals, meet client expectations, and deliver measurable results. With decades of experience in IT, leadership, and project management, Juanita is passionate about mentorship, coaching, and advocacy, particularly for women in STEM and marginalized professionals. She is also the driving force behind Canadian Immigrant Professional Alliance, a nonprofit dedicated to helping immigrant professionals integrate and succeed in their fields by bridging systemic gaps and advocating for policy changes. Welcome to the podcast, Juanita.
Thank you so much, Candace, for having me. It's really, really a pleasure for me to be here today.
I'm excited to talk to you because you, like, just a little bit of the bio that I gave about you and your background, there is so much more for our listeners to learn about who you are, your story of transformation, how you found your path to purpose. And I know you're going to want to talk about some other things that you have in the works. But first, I would love for you to share, like, who is Juanita? How did you get into the space that you're in now? Because I know it wasn't a straight line. And
no.
I would love for our listeners to learn more about you and your background.
Thank you so much. My journey is one of embracing possibilities. And I must say, full with resilience in everything I've done. Most importantly, passion and purpose. I grew up in Ghana, in West Africa. A young girl didn't quite fit the mold of what is expected of girls. I've always been curious, constantly figuring things out, inventing recipes, and diving into activities that traditionally, and especially someone from Ghana, Africa, weren't traditionally meant for girls, right? So growing up, to be honest, I lacked confidence. I thought I wasn't worth anything. I was bullied a lot. And when I came to Canada, I realized what I was, people could consider it here as a nerd. But I was blessed with one unwielding champion in my life, my father, my late Ernesto de Souza. He believed in me when others did not. His constant encouragement planted a seed that grew to what you see today. Even when my mom says something negative, he will go behind and come behind and say, "My daughter, don't worry." Okay. Things like that. So after earning my double honors in computer science and economics, and at that time, when I finished that, I realized I was the first female to graduate with that combination in my department. I did math in first year university, and there were just 6 girls out of over 100 guys. So after graduating, I embarked on a journey that today would change my life forever. So I've never traveled outside Ghana. I've never taken a plane. And I had the opportunity to intern with IBM Canada through an exchange program through the university. So in 1990, I moved to Winnipeg, cold Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. I've never traveled other than neighboring countries, visiting family. And the unexpected happened in Winnipeg. When I landed in Winnipeg, my flight was delayed. And so the sponsors who were supposed to pick me had already left. That time, we don't have cell phone, wasn't something common. So what I had sent them that was coming was a telegram. I didn't know how to use the payphone at the airport to even use it. The only line I had was an office line. So I was stranded at the airport, alone, scared, lost, crying, unsure of what to do. Yes, it was truly, truly a terrifying moment for me. But it's also taught me very early on, having left home for the first time, having done all this, and I've taken the plane for the first time, the power of asking for help. Trusting strangers we've never met and believing in my art that I've always had of figuring things out. So there was this beautiful lady, Andrea Morrison, who was working at Rent-A-Car at the airport. So she found me wandering, lowly, crying. She didn't know me, but she saw that I needed help. So she took me in and gave me shelter, and that changed my life. Andrea now became my long life friend and the godmother of my eldest daughter. My experience through that shaped my mindset forever to who I am today. It made me look at every challenge as an opportunity. Support can come from unexpected places. Also, you must be brave enough to move forward and not cry over things you don't have control over, and don't be scared. So I can take you to my journey through IBM. That's a whole different growth and challenge journey, if you want me to continue.
Well, I want to touch on something that you said about trusting in strangers and asking for help, or being willing to have a stranger give you help, because we're always told, like, don't talk to strangers, don't say too much, don't do this, mm-hmm. don't do that. But mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. had you not been trusting of Andrea, I mean, the trajectory of what happened could have been completely different.
Mm-hmm. Because I didn't have any choice. Right? And she approached me. She saw I was just going like this. I didn't know what to do. So she approached me and she saw I was the only one left. Everybody had moved their bags. I was still holding on to my bag. So she's like, you need help. I said yes. And I started crying. And she hugged me. The hug gave me comfort. Right? So, yes, you can trust in strangers, but, and I've never been here. I don't know what to expect, but I trust my gut.
Yeah.
And the hug she gave me that comfort of safety.
Yeah.
That was able to open up.
It's that quote, the kindness of strangers, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So you have this internship with IBM.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And as you were saying, like back in this time frame, 1990, women weren't getting these types of internships. No. So is there something in particular that happened or you did to be able to say, I'm going to get one of these internships?
Well, back then it was left to, I mean, I did okay at the university. So if I hadn't come for the internship, I would have, both economics and computer science wanted me to do what they call teaching assistant. And usually when you do it, you get a scholarship to go to the US or the UK. Honestly, I never even knew about Canada. But mine came earlier, right? I finished in August and I have to be here right away, right? So that journey itself, having not left home, there are a lot of norms, I don't know, coming to a different, completely different culture. With Andrea, even she took me for a Thanksgiving dinner. I've never had broccoli in my life. The food that was served was not my known food, but I forced myself to like it. Broccoli is now my favorite food, right? I like vegetables. So, and back home, even though I did computer science, we didn't have a lot of computers. Hands-on experience was an issue. So when I started at IBM, I realized I didn't know the practicals. I know the theory, which we're taught. I barely touch a computer. Our hands-on experience was very minimal back home. There was 4 students shared to 1 a computer during a lab, just 1-hour lab for 4 people. Like, just imagine what you would learn out of it, right? I didn't even understand the local bus system here in Winnipeg to get to work. Andrea have to figure, she thought I was given a map. I was like, what do I do with this? Bus 11 came. There are different bus 11, which I got lost even in the process. I lost a few times. Again, I was forced to talk to strangers to show me my way back. So all this was building some resilience and comfort and also ability to talk, because I used to be quiet. When I tell people now, they may not believe me, right? So I also didn't know how to type. Everything we did back home in Ghana was handwritten. So when I went to IBM, I realized, oh, everybody was typing. I have to send email. I was going like that. And she gave me actually a small manual typewriter to use to type. So I was practicing constantly every evening. My boss also realized I lacked that skill. So he gave me a software in a floppy disk to learn how to type. And very quickly, I was able to do that. The other biggest challenge for me was to set up a whole big computer systems, mainframes. I had no technical skills in setting up. Like I said, I know the theory, I had nothing. And back then, it wasn't Windows, which is easy to use. IBM was using what we call OS2, Unix, AIS systems. There were very few women, and most of the women that were there were like receptionists or admin assistant. So I was the only one with the tech guys kind of thing. And there was one other lady who was good. So I had no hands-on experience. So again, my dad became my lifeline, even from thousands of miles away. I mean, I spent a lot of money at that time on international calls. So he became my lifeline, thousands of miles away, who coached me over the phone, told me to ask questions, told me to label the cables, draw things out. So I took his advice very seriously. I was always, after work, I would draw every time they do a setup. I would draw everything out, label them. I would stay up at work late, asking my colleagues questions, drawing things on the board and stuff like that. So I learned. And through humility, hard work, asking the art of asking questions, I stayed late and never losing sight of the opportunity I had. Within a month, I was independent. I was able to set up. So that's what taught me, oh, it's not as bad. I thought I would never be able to do it. Here I am doing it, right? To the extent that I earn respect from my peers and supervisors, to the extent that at that time, they used to get free pass. So my boss gave me Winnipeg Jets pass to go watch hockey. That's my first time in a hockey game. So my whole experience has been like a roller coaster, right? And that's what I talk a lot about, resilient, grit, a growth mindset, because I was like, I have this opportunity. I have to make the best out of it. I cry sometimes. I feel lonely. I look for mentorship, even far away, like my dad, which was informal, and that really saved me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Your dad, though, he wasn't in IT or.
My dad was very technical. He was the chief technical officer at the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation, which we'll call here like the CBC. So he's very technical. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that was helpful, but still being thousands of miles away, it's not,
not
like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not like you could hop on Zoom and
no.
He could say, show you what to do, but to have somebody that really believed in you.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that is like a key point right here for those people listening, especially the younger generation. If you don't have a mentor or a coach, find someone who can definitely be supportive of you, even if they're just a sounding board for you.
And honestly, since then, I've had a lot of distant mentors. Like even when I was the head of IT for Winnipeg Police, I was the first Black woman to get there. Police itself is a male-dominated field. Add IT to it. Add a woman to it. Add a woman of color to it. Add an immigrant to it. It just, the intersectionality was fake. So I started actually admiring other women who, like the PepsiCo CEO, who were like, oh, okay, they are doing bigger things than me. Who am I to be scared? Come on, Juanita, wake up. Right? So when I talk to people, I always talk about having that distance mentor that you admire, you tend to study them, read about them, and see how they manage, how they do things, and how they inspire you, but you've never met them, you've never talked to them, right? So all these experiences for me, especially the early on, before I even got married, laid a foundation for everything else I did later. I felt if my initial thing were all nice and smooth, there's no way I'll be where I am today. Absolutely not. Right? So even raising my three sons, at the same time, pursuing my leadership role in a field where it is mainly for male, was part of that early foundation. I talk about being the IT for Winnipeg Police, 34 divisions, 180 customers. There's a lot that I can't talk within this, that I learned, spearheading digital transformation project, a bigger project, serving on boards like University of Manitoba, and finally writing my first contribution to a chapter, Beyond the Glass Ceiling, which became the number one international bestseller. It was amazing. I never thought I could ever do something like that. Thanks to Kathy and my queen, Christine, who introduced me to Kathy. So everything for me, my life has been a roller coaster, but I always look at challenges as opportunities. And that message from my dad, ask questions. You can't give up. You belong here. That kind of thing always resonates. Like you said, my dad wasn't there to show me. He doesn't even know the cables. All he said is, ask questions. After the end of the setup, draw everything, label it, put it in your drawer, review it before the next setup, watch how they do it, ask questions, continue with that. That's basically the foundation that have set me apart.
That I find, I like, this is amazing to me, because somebody else might have just thrown up their hands and been like, I just give up. Mm-hmm. But what you're saying really hits home, the keeping everything as a learning opportunity. Mm-hmm. Like, we're all going to fail at something, right? Mm-hmm. And then you just have to figure out a way to, another way to, mm-hmm. to accomplish whatever that goal is or whatever that next thing is.
Exactly. Now,
so you were with the police department, mm-hmm. and then you transitioned to something else.
Well, the police department was very challenging for me. It was a challenging period. After 6 years, I have to step down, basically. And I thought to myself, oh, I'm a loser. I'm this, I'm that. Then I quickly realized there were three other women ahead of me. One was the first ever female deputy. She left before me. Another, I was like, oh, it's the culture. It's not me. But it took me a while to realize that. And the whole experience, which, like I said, I can't get into that here. Even my family was scared for me. They were like, you're pushing yourself. I remember my husband telling my friends, you have to talk to your friends. You need to slow down. Because I just felt I have to prove myself. I have to prove. And actually, that was when purpose hit me. That it doesn't matter how hard I work, how much I tried, how much money I saved. It didn't matter. There was a point I started doubting myself, like maybe there's something wrong with me. And I realized, no, it's not me. It's them. I have a good friend who said, Juanita, you are too smart for them. There were so many threads. And I realized, then why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I pushing myself too hard? Why am I working harder than anybody else? Then I realized the purpose. Because I've gone to places, people will go, wow, you had the head of IT for Winnipeg Police. Wow, we are encouraged. We are this. I was like, oh, okay. So it's not about me. It's about what I'm doing for others or the door I'm opening for others. That's when it changed.
Yeah. So you realized that you were making an impact.
Mm-hmm.
By providing this knowledge that you had that you were able to share with other people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad that you realized that it wasn't you and it was the culture, instead mm-hmm. of continuing to beat yourself up over something that you didn't have any control over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. when you left the police department, is this when you decided to start your own company, or was there other things that happened before that?
Yes. So a lot of friends believed in me. They said, no, you are too smart. Start your own thing. That was when Dynamic Solution International was born. So with the help of my husband, he even designed my business card. So I did a little bit of that. But then I have three sons. They were going to private school. The instability, then a colleague of mine that we were both on the advisory committee said, oh, I have a position. I saw the position and he said, oh, yeah, if you are interested, it won't be at the same level. I was like, sure. So I took that position and I worked for another 7.5 years at Workers' Compensation Board as manager. I didn't want to, manager for. And even there, there were staff. And I realized as soon as I can retire, I'm gone. So you can build your pension and stuff. I said, as soon as I can do this, I'm doing. And that's what I did. So even there, I've always been involved in volunteering, doing other things. I teaching part-time. I always like to learn and grow, right? So that's always been part of who I am. Volunteering became part of me, because each time I volunteer, I get to know people. I go with the ladies now. That I used to run with. Yeah, so I realized I was building my network as well through volunteering. So when I retired, people thought, oh, finally, my family should go to slow down. to be honest with you. Never. I'm much busier than ever. So when I retired, I took a time to reflect what it is. And there were three things. I will not do anything that I'm not passionate about. I will not do anything that there's no purpose or helping others. I will not do anything that is not impactful. Right? So that was when Juanita 2.0 was born, a movement around passion, purpose, and impact. So in Dynamic Solution, when I established it, it wasn't about me. That's why I like to collaborate with others, even people who have a lot of skill set to put proposals together, and then we can work on a project together. So for DSI, it's not just about me. It's about coming together with people who otherwise will not have opportunity to work together. So executive coaching, if people just go into leadership, and sometimes I do it for free if I know you don't have the resources and need that guidance. I mean, this week alone, one of my students who is managing billions of dollars project reached out to me. Yes, I supported him. He said, if you were me, what would you do differently? So I spent my whole weekend working on something. She wanted to give me some honorarium. I said, what? It's don't worry about that, right? If the project becomes bigger, you need my professional, then that's when it will take place. So at DSI, we do executive coaching, leadership development. So to give let people know they are not alone, I'm willing to work with anybody. It's not about the money. We also facilitate change management, especially in this dynamic world. Change is key. It's happening constantly, especially in the profession I am in, which is information technology and business transformation with AI. Now people have to find different way of modernizing or transforming their business and how they do things. So we are there to help. I have a number of network of people who I bring together depending on the issue that we work with. We also do a lot of tailor workshop. For me, one of the things I love to do is impact knowledge. So imparting knowledge means creating unique workshops through different platforms. I do a lot of workshop through Volunteer Manitoba, and through that, I do a lot for nonprofit as well. We do sessions like strategic planning and project management, coming in and basically looking at your growth process and things like that. So I also partner with other tech firms here to see how we can. I bring some resources, they bring some resources, and we bid on international project as well. I've built on a couple in Ghana as well. Basically, to drive innovation is the key component of what I do to deliver measurable results. So it's funny that AI today is a big thing. But I went back to school. I did my master's. My PhD, I was in my PhD, but then I popped three boys. So I decided, what? My priority is this boy. So I stopped. But even then, I had finished my coursework. And if I had continued, I showed it to my boys. My area of specialization in the early 90s was in artificial intelligence and neural networks, which is built on today. So I've always had that edge for technology, edge for innovation, edge for invention, which is figuring things out. And the other thing for me, beyond business and work, my real mission and purpose, I feel, is empowerment. So I coach a lot of women in STEM, who are navigating their own career journeys. I mentor marginalized professionals like immigrants. Most of them are my students. And now with CIPA, which is Canadian Immigrant Professional, I'm trying to advocate for immigrant professionals. And the main thing is to break the barriers for newcomers, especially if you're an accountant and you come here. You shouldn't be working in a casino. Is there a pathway you can go? Unless you chose to. Because that pathway is not clear to a lot of people. There are so many agencies doing so many things that nobody is holding them accountable for outcome. CIPA is all about accountability, right? It's all about accountability, outcome. So one other thing I've learned through, because I went into leadership quite earlier than I've ever imagined. And I, with my experience, I realized, leadership is not really about titles or the corner office. It's about action. what we do intentionally with a purpose. And it's about reaching back, seeing what I have, either sharing my story today, someone coming to me needing help of how they can manage their project, and helping them so I can lift them up. Because when I started at IBM, I was just trying to survive. Today, I'm committed to help others thrive.
Yeah, I feel you're amazing. You are truly amazing. Your story is so inspiring. And I have like so many questions like going through my mind. So I'm going to back up for a second because I want to talk to you a little bit about women in STEM.
Yes.
Because it's not easy. And of course, there's still that discrepancy of more men, less women. And what's the advice that you would share with a young woman who this is the field she wants to get in?
The first thing is never let them feel you are nobody. Build resilience. Show them what you have. Don't wait to be told you have a seat at the table. Find a seat at the table or take your chair and sit at the table because you belong there. Because quite often we women in STEM, when we go to meetings, the boys can talk about big things and we feel intimidated. And I've talked to a lot of women who are like, I'm given the nature of my career, there's no way I can apply for this leadership job because I'm thinking of having a family. Why are you the one paying the price for having a family? I worked at another place way before even where when I had my third son, I had just joined them 2 months. I realized I was pregnant. So in less than a year, I have to go on maternity leave. They were not pleased. Juanita came back, saw a leadership position. I wanted to apply. So I put in my papers. I was called by HR and I was told, sorry, you can't apply. You were here less than 6 months and you didn't finish your probation and you went on maternity leave and so you cannot apply. I was like, ooh. So I'm being punished for going on maternity leave. Right? And for women, we want to see all the checkboxes. I can tell some other positions I've held in the past that there was only one checkbox, this particular one, and I apply and I got it. So showing that confidence, right? Having that elevator pitch too, because nobody is going to sell you, right? So let me tell a story about a brilliant young immigrant woman I had the chance to guide. She was originally from India, have a PhD in information technology, was sponsored by her the husband's sister to come. When I met her at a fan, she said, well, I've been told I have to do survival job. I should forget about IT, get into IT. Number one is for men. Number two, your English is not great. Number three, there's no way out. So she was very discouraged, feel unworthy. So what did I do? I sat down with her. I said, okay, did her resume. Practice a little bit of elevator pitch. Anytime she saw a position, we tailor the resume to it, build her confidence back up. And today, I don't have time to go into all the details. She's a senior software architect and a project leader. A role fully aligned with her talent and ambition. So this is where my passion for Canadian immigrant professionals come. Because I've seen people like that, if it wasn't me, could have been pumping gas somewhere or in a grocery shop picking stuff. So her story, like so many others have heard, is a proof. It's possible to rewrite our story. It's possible to break the barriers and it's possible to thrive. And sometimes all people need is a little guidance, which I try to offer as when I can. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to women in STEM, don't try and fit in, because sometimes we try and fit in and what? We are not ourselves. We are not happy. We end up making a lot of stupid mistakes because we are not men. We are women. So they need to be authentic for who they are. The other one is to be bold. Right? To be bold. If you come up with an idea and somebody else, they ignore you and somebody else comes up with it, do you just sit down and, oh, I thought I said that last week. No, raise your hand. Hello. I thought I mentioned that last week. Right? Be persistent. Resort with silence, the doubters. And that's one thing I think have helped me is action speaks about outcome. Right? The persistence show result. Don't just talk, and in the end, nothing shows up, right? Network. And unfortunately, most network are after work. I have 3 boys under 6. So do you take them to their soccer or hockey game, or you go and network so that you can build your career? So I've been talking systematically about having network during the day so women with children can attend. So there are some that do breakfast now, right? So you can go drop them at school and go. There are some lunch activities that are there. So look for those and go. Seek mentorship, volunteering. Honestly, I don't have time to go about how volunteering has shaped my leadership. And never stop learning and build your voice and also build your personal brand. My last word would be don't shrink yourself to fit in an environment that was never built for you in mind. Build your own space, your own table, and try and be there. One of my mantra is I can and I will.
Oh, I love that.
Right? Every seat I sit on, I make it wider for the next woman or immigrant who comes after me. Right? We need to build bridges. Yeah.
Juanita, I mean, you just gave like a whole workshop just in those last few minutes, right? On how to like step into yourself to get to the position or the leadership role that you want to be in. I feel like, especially for women, like everybody needs to connect with you. So I want to also touch on your chapter in the book, The Evolution of Women's Leadership. But that's the book, right?
Yes.
So why you had said that you didn't feel like that was something that you could do, like to write, participate as one of the authors for this book. What was holding you back? Why did you think that it wasn't for you?
I just never saw myself as ever writing a book, period. And even speaking, I'm not a professional speaker. I actually, someone saw my post that I posted on LinkedIn and reached out to me. And then when I spoke, everybody was like, they said I was so authentic. And that's when my speaking career thing started, right? So the same thing happens. And it's interesting that most of the opportunities that have come, most of the time is from others who have seen me and said, no, you should do this, right? And also some people said they just like my confidence. They like my drive and my positivity, right? So when it came, I was like, what am I going to say? What am I going to write? But then when I started, honestly, Kathy would tell you, I wrote so much, I have to cut it down, right? So that's what I mean by resilience. Never cut yourself off. There's nothing you cannot do if you put your mind to it. The growth mindset, well, so eventually I was just, okay, 3 people have told me I can't, so I will. Remember I said I can't, I will. So I did it.
Right. And now for our listeners, you're also a contributing author into the upcoming Passion, Purpose, and Possibilities anthology book. Do you see yourself writing a full book just where you're the author?
Yes. My oldest son have been pushing me on that for some time now. So he was happy I did the first one. And I was, I'm not ready. But I think in the last 2 years, I've been thinking more about that. And we'll see how things go. Yes, it's something I think I'll be ready for after the second book. And that one also, Kim, I just finished this one and Kathy was like, oh, I was talking nice of what? This is basically who I am, what I do. And I was the last person I believe that came on board. I was like, no, but I don't have time. I have so many other things. I'm teaching at the university part-time. I said, I don't have time. She said, no, we're staying till February. And honestly, it was one of the easiest things for me to write because I've talked about passion. I've talked about purpose. So Kathy was like, you've done it already. Just put it in a... It was one of the easiest that I did, honestly, to be honest with you. Yeah.
And it's so, and so much in alignment with who you are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm glad to have contributed to it because it's basically who I am.
Yeah.
Especially when it's at 2.0.
Yes. Is there anything else that you want to share about Juanita 2.0?
All I want to say is that I'm driven, I'm inspired. And almost every week I get calls or come and talk here, come and help us with this. Sometimes my son will go, did he pay you? Don't tell me you inspired someone. But making a difference in someone's life. One of my strategic partners, we had a virtual meeting and he said, just a few weeks ago, she said, can I tell you something? I said, yeah, what is it? He said, I've never seen you this happy, ever. Since you stepped down and doing your Juanita 2.0, she said, you're doing your Juanita 2.0. You're always smiling, you are happy, and it's been a life changer. So I tell people, well, take a break, pause. It wasn't an easy decision, but I don't look back at all. Even my staff, sometimes they want to go, you are too busy. You are everywhere.
They have to rein you in a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How can our listeners connect with you? What if they want to reach out to you for Dynamic Solutions International and get some help with a project or leadership development or change of leadership?
Yeah, so dsiconnect.ca, we have all the information there. Even though we haven't updated stuff, they can connect with me directly or they can connect with me on LinkedIn personally. DSI is also on LinkedIn. So is Canadian Immigrant Professional. So they can connect with that, type, search for it and get it. And I'm sure by the time this is up, you will have some links there as well. Yeah.
Yes, all of your links will be in the show notes. So our listeners can definitely connect with you.
Have you ever felt like life's challenges are piling up and you don't know where to start? I've been there several times. Work challenges, a life-changing injury, a divorce, grief. Having someone to listen made all the difference. And that's why I'm excited to share something that could make a real difference in your life. Today's sponsor, BetterHelp. BetterHelp, a sponsor of the podcast, is an online platform that connects you with licensed therapists, making it easy to get the support you need from the comfort of your own home. Whether you're dealing with stress, anxiety, relationship issues, or just feeling stuck, BetterHelp has professionals who can help. What I love about BetterHelp is that it's tailored to you. Starting therapy with BetterHelp is easy. Fill out a form, and you're matched with a therapist, in most cases, within a couple of days. If the first therapist doesn't feel like the right fit, you can easily switch to another one until you find the right someone you can connect with. It's not awkward or a hassle. It's not just about therapy. It's about having someone in your corner when you need it most. So if you've been thinking about starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? Visit BetterHelp.com/Candace Snyder today to get 10% off your first month of therapy. That's BetterHelp.com/Candace Snyder because you deserve to feel supported, heard, and empowered.
Kindness looks good on everyone, and that's why the Passion, Purpose, and Possibilities podcast has partnered with The Kindness Cause, a creatively curated online shopping experience of fashion-forward gifts that donate to nonprofit organizations to help you shop with purpose and donate in style. Together, our mission is to spread kindness, give back, and empower individuals to pursue their dreams through our exclusive line of inspirational merchandise that not only uplifts your spirits, but also gives back to those in need. Every purchase donates to a charitable nonprofit organization. To see this exclusive line, make a purchase, and support a cause, head over to the show notes for the direct link.
Okay, Juanita, you're amazing, but I can't let you go just yet. I have to ask you the 3P questions.
Okay.
So the first one is, what is something you're passionate about that people might not know about you?
My passion, women in STEM, immigrant marginalized group. What some people may not know is that, because sometimes some people ask me, can I be my mentor? I will say no, because they are okay. I feel they are okay. So I'm always looking for those who are just surviving. And I can tell in them they want to thrive, especially those who are overlooked or underestimated. I absolutely love coaching and mentoring such people. So basically, my passion is helping people. And sometimes people I've never even met before. So sometimes people feel if them that you should be able to relate to them well. No, honestly, I relate to people I've not even met. So they can find hope, rebuild their lives. So let me tell you, I don't know if I have time to share this story, but I'll share one story. So during COVID, when they found me on LinkedIn to speak, be a keynote speaker at the UN Status of Women. So about the pandemic and how it's impacting life. So I share my story. I also share how I'm making it possible for my staff, especially women, to be able to manage from manage between having kids at home, schooling, and I'm not making it like 8 to 4 kind of thing. I've broken all the HR rules, but I'm doing it because they need it. So after that, a beautiful, smart young girl who attended it, was virtual, reached out to me. And she said, wow, how much my words has moved her. And that she was going through a very, very dark time. And hearing my story gave her hope again. She asked if I could be her mentor. Distance. She was in a different province. I was like, I hesitated. I didn't know her. But something in my heart said yes. And the more we did virtual stuff, I got to know she had a PhD, very, very smart, full of potential. I was married. Was I an arranged marriage or not? Didn't work out. She lost her job in the process because she didn't have a support system. And she's now doing a survival job in the mall, working in the mall. She didn't know how, what to rebuild her life back to her profession with PhD, because she has to pay her rent. I encouraged her to leave a survivor job and focus on her career. The main issue was, how does she pay her rent? She's in a different province. So I said, what? If you are willing to move to Manitoba, I'll host you. It took her some time to make that decision. The time she made the decision, I wasn't even here. I was on vacation. I called my husband and my kids. They welcomed her in. And when she was here, she ended up getting a great job at a university, her dream job. And she's doing wonderful things. She's thriving, getting noticed, living, and paying it forward. So to me, that is what passion is all about. Small acts, believing in others that you don't know, transforming their lives. That's what keeps me going and doing what I do every day. And the funny part is, this lady, up to today, I've never met her in person.
Really? That's pretty amazing.
That's my passion.
Yeah.
Things like that. That's what fuels me. It just fuels me to keep going.
Oh my gosh. That's so life-changing for her. She'll never forget you.
Yeah. No, she doesn't.
No, she'll never forget you. Yeah. What a great story. Okay. I have another question. And
okay,
that is,
bring it on.
What is your definition of purpose?
I found purpose. And that's what was a game changer for me. For me, I realized having passion alone wasn't enough. Purpose is the intersection where your passion meets the needs of others. So if you are just passionate about work, and nothing else, you won't go far. It's basically where your skills create meaningful, lasting impact, like the story I just shared. So for me, it became very clear when I was in leadership. I was working in technology, and I realized building systems, it was all about me and what I can do. But when it was about others, that fire just flamed up. So whether it's through DSI, volunteering, coaching, speaking, workshop, believing in others, seeing their values, and provide that confidence is what matters. So that gives me very many every day. I hired some interns, and I remember the last intern I hired, there were about 40 people that applied. And I think he's from China, but he said, oh, my English is not good. And I told him, who told you your English is not good? I said, your English is great. So all you need to know is slow down a little. And we're going to work on it. It's not about me anymore, for me purpose. It's about others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just that saying that one little thing could change somebody's whole mindset on how they're feeling about themselves. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. There's one more. And that is there a possibility, a dream or vision you have for the future?
Yes. And it already planted. We just need to nourish it. And that is building CIPA, which is Canadian Immigrant Professional, into a national force with successful outcomes and impact, influencing policy change, not at the grassroots, but at the political level, so that immigrants can professionally integrate. So the barriers they face can no longer be part of their story. And especially those in regulated profession. Because when I arrived in Canada, despite my education skills pathways, when my husband joined me and we both decided to go to school, it wasn't a straight pathway. So I want to fight for visibility, for opportunity, and for fairness. So for me, CIPA is now everything for me. Even some of my staff were like, you don't care about DSI anymore. Everything, CIPA. I was like, yeah, I know. And CIPA is not paying me anything. But it's to create that future where newcomers no longer have to fight those same battles alone. So I dreamed for a Canada where immigrant professionals are valued from day one, and looked at what skills and abilities they bring, not the language they speak, not the color of their skin, and what contribution they are making. I look at myself, I look at my family, I look at my extended family that have come to Canada. They've all brought something. In any environment, there are bad apples that doesn't use. So I'm really hoping that CIPA will break through that. So immigrant professionals in particular will find value from day one. So I see CIPA not as an organization, but as a movement. And honestly, it's just beginning. That's all I can say.
I agree with you that it's going to be a movement. I feel that you can be paving the way for so many, not just the people that come to you for help, but the ripple effect of when other countries, other places see what you're doing, then they're going to see that other change needs to be created as well in different places. And I know that you want this to be international, so it will spread.
No, exactly that. It's exactly that. It's not, it's for me, it's everything I do now is about outcome. It's not a checkbox that, oh, we did an event. What came out of that event? How many people got something out of it? If nobody did, I failed. It's more about impact and outcome. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to share that we missed?
I think we've talked about everything. All I can say is keep your eye on that ball. Have a growth mindset. Be resilient. You belong wherever you want to belong. Create that space. And I also take this opportunity to thank you so much for having me on your podcast today. It's been truly joy sharing my journey, my passion, and my vision. I hope it inspires someone listening to it in their own, that they also find their own possibilities, because you providing a platform such as this so we can share our stories and have the power to create change is what's needed in the world today. So thank you again for this beautiful opportunity.
Well, thank you, Juanita. It's my pleasure to have you on as a guest and have you share your story. And that's what it's all about. It's you sharing your story. It's my hope that for the listener, that they're inspired to go do the thing that they've wanted to do and not think that they can't do it. Right? Right? There is a way. It might not be a straight line, but there is a way.
No. It wasn't a straight line for me, but they can do it. If I can do it, anyone can do it.
Thank you again, Juanita.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed the episode, please leave a rating and review and share it with a friend. Your support helps us reach more listeners and create a bigger impact. We're also doing something special. Each month, we'll be selecting a review to feature in an episode, and the reviewer will receive a surprise giveaway. So don't forget to leave your thoughts. You might just be our next winner. To connect with me or learn more, check the links in the show notes. I'd love to hear what inspired you today. Feel free to email me directly at candy564@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and until next time.